O Lord, open our hearts and minds to hear and understand your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this Sunday we've reached the end of the lectionary year. Next Sunday we begin year B, and the gospel focus is on Mark. But I have to say I'm already tired of watching the Christmas adverts on TV and social media. The gap between Halloween and Christmas Day this year was 55 days. That's almost 2 months. Yet the day after Halloween, I heard my first Christmas jingle. All I can say is that at this time of the year, it's a privilege to be a Christian, because in the middle of this Christmas hype, we have the 4 weeks of Advent to remind us of Christ's coming and the promise of eternal life. I'll take that any day. And the precursor to Advent is today, the reign of Christ. And the gospel reading calls us to consider the issue of Judgment Day. It's important for us to consider this because judgment at its heart means accountability. Judgment is when somehow, but we don't need to fret about how, is when somehow we'll have to give an account of ourselves, what we've done with our life on earth. And we're invited by Jesus to do this by way of considering the difference between sheep and goats. And our focus, of course, should be on to become a sheep in spiritual terms, or more relevant, to remain a sheep. Our lives are not static. We are dynamic beings who are capable of great works and great sins. So we need to keep watchful if we are to remain sheep. Not that we can ignore the goats. They are closer to our own behavior than we might care to think. I mean, have you watched the little goats on YouTube bouncing haphazardly from hay bale to bucket and even on to the back of another goat? They are adorable, just as our sins are without self-control. We can easily believe that Jesus' description of the goats doesn't apply to us at all. Just listen to Jesus' words. He can't be talking about us. I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was alone and away from home and you did not invite me in. I was without clothes and you gave me nothing to wear. And I was sick and in prison and you did not visit me. That's not us, surely. Well, if you think that way, I invite you to listen to Christian writer Gerald Fuller's modern interpretation of Jesus' words. It's called The Parable of the Last Judgment, Readapted. Goes like this. For I was hungry and you were overfilling yourself at the buffet. Not this year, of course, thanks to COVID-19, but you get the point. I was thirsty and you were watering your lawn again. For the third time, on the same day. I was a stranger, and you called the police and were glad to see me taken away. I was homeless, and you signed the Not In My Backyard petition. I was naked, and you were saying, I don't have a thing to wear, I must go shopping. I was ill, and you asked, Is it contagious? And I was in prison, you said, That's where that their sort belong. Interesting, eh? Just a little too close to the truth to leave us comfortable, perhaps. So we need to be careful. There is no room for complacency around this issue. But it shouldn't be difficult to determine if we are sheep in spiritual terms. We were helped by last week's gospel story about the parable of the talents. Two stewards were lauded as ideal disciples, that is, sheep, who receive their just reward. But the third steward failed in his task, so like a goat he was discarded. We need to be absolutely sure we are sheep and not goats. Christian writer Brian Beale captures the important difference between goats and sheep when he analyzes the three stewards. He compares them. Look at the difference between the two servants who served and the one who took a dive. The first two were determined to make a profit. The third was determined not to make a loss. The first two were willing to work hard and take risks. The third took no risk at all. The first two received the gift. The third refused the gift. The first two wanted to advance the master's domain. The third had no interest in it. The first two viewed the talents as opportunity. The third viewed the money as a problem. The first allowed the master's gift to change their lives. The third refused to let the gift touch his life. The first two saw a blessing. The third saw a burden. And the first two knew the master. The third had no clue. Well, that's a pretty clear divide to me. And from that we can work out which side of the sheep-goat divide we should be on and which side we are on. And the two should be the same. So our concentration today should be on the sheep. And the key is motivation. Why do we do what we do for Christ? And we can best understand that by looking at the wrong way to be motivated. Well, actually, two wrong ways. The first is to make a decision to copy Christ. That's symbolized by the phrase WWJD, what would Jesus do? Now, it's okay to use that in specific situations, but as a rule of life, it is impossible to maintain. The trouble is, it's a head decision, not a heart decision, so it is hard to keep going. There's no spiritual power in it. I remember as a teenager trying this out. I was always in trouble. I didn't know then that I had ADHD. I know you'll find that hard to believe. I decided I would act like Jesus in order to keep out of trouble. It worked for a day or two, but by the end of the first week of the new school year, I was in the principal's office for vandalism. I had swatted a wasp with a hockey stick, but the wasp was on a window, so I killed the wasp. Not only did I kill the wasp, I destroyed the glass window, and shards of glass showered on the playground below. End of my WWJD experiment. The second way is to try to get right with Christ by good works. I'll devote my whole life to working for Christ. I'll volunteer for everything. But it never works. Enough is never enough. It leads either to exhaustion or a sense of not being good enough, or both. The problem with these two approaches, imitating Jesus and doing good works, is there's no divine power. It's all in the head. There's no Holy Spirit to connect the human spirit to divine power. And so the individual gets frustrated and exhausted and falls back into the ways of the world. The important thing, though, is not to get dispirited when we fall short of the high expectations we have for ourselves. In a way, it's to be expected. Jesus' analogy of sheep and goats has its origin in the Old Testament, as we heard in today's reading from Ezekiel chapter 34. In verse 11, we are reassured. It reads, "I myself, says the sovereign Lord, will search for my sheep and look after them." But later in verse 20, we learn there can be a separation between the bullying sheep and the meek sheep. It implies there is also a judgment among the sheep. Verse 21, "Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting the weak sheep with your horns until you've driven them away, I will save my flock. I will save them and they will no longer be plundered. I will place over them my shepherd." And of course, We know the shepherd is Jesus. What this means is that we have to be very careful that we stay in the sheepfold. And that is of great value. It means we cannot rest on our laurels, believing that because we are sheep, we will be all right. We need to constantly remind ourselves that we must be on our guard to remain alert and inspired to do all God calls us to. We do not want to fall into the ranks of the frozen chosen. And we are saved in this, of course, by the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit that moves us to do not what we think we should do, but what Christ wants us to do. The Spirit of God is the one that gives us divine direction. It is the power that the Apostle Paul talks about constantly. We even use his words in our Eucharistic prayers. He, Paul, talks of Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. And then it goes on, not just by whom, and not just with whom, but it also says in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. It's talking about incorporation. When we operate like that, aware that the Holy Spirit is inside us, then there is no striving. Nothing for us to strive for in what we do under divine direction and power, because we don't need anything and we don't need to prove anything. We have God's unconditional love and divine power, and that is enough. That's what living in the reign of Christ should be like. And it's not difficult. All we have to do is wake up each morning and ask God, "Thank you, Lord, for this day. What would you have the Holy Spirit give me to do?" Then just wait and listen through the day. You'll know when the Spirit is calling you to love or to serve or to show compassion. Let me finish with an example of true sheepdom. The story is told of Martin of Tours, a Roman soldier who believed in Christ, serving in France in the 4th century AD. One cold winter day, as he was riding into the city, a poor beggar stopped him and asked for alms. Although Martin had no money, he was moved with compassion for the poor man who stood shivering in the cold. Martin gave him what he had. Taking off his soldier's coat, he cut it in two and gave